Many years ago, we were in our 40 days of prayer leading up to Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. And a group of us, and some are still here, a group of us would meet every day at 6 a.m. in the morning here in the front of the church. 6 to 7, we would come in and for concentrated prayer. One morning, I got up and I got ready to come to church, and I happened to look out my front window, and one of my sons had used our car the night before, and I saw our black Taurus parked out in front of our house. And so I got ready, and I went out, and I went to get in the car, and I tried the back door. It was locked. So I opened the driver's side door, and imagine my surprise when the car alarm system went off. And in my car, I didn't have a car alarm system. And I went over and looked in the back, and there was our black Taurus parked in the back of our house. This is 5:20 a.m. That's like in the morning. Do you know how loud a car alarm system blaring at 5:20 in the morning, how loud it sounds? So there I am, standing in front. It's not my car. Now, folks, it was 5:20. It was dark. It was a black Taurus, same model, same make, same year. Sitting right there. I thought it was our car. In fact, I believed it was our car. In fact, I had faith that it was our car because I was getting in. But it wasn't our car. And the Lord taught me something that morning. He taught me that just because you believe something doesn't make it true. And when it comes to faith, the object of our faith is extremely important. The object. Now, I've got to tell you the rest of the story. I'm standing there in front of the car, and this alarm system's going off. It seemed like for hours. It was probably about a minute. But it's blaring, and then finally it went off. And so I ran back, jumped in my car, and got out of there. So I come home that night, and the black Taurus is still in front of my house. And you know, if I would have just read the bumper sticker on the back of that car, I would have known it wasn't my car. Because the bumper sticker on the back bumper read, "I partied at the hot tub club." I have never been to the hot tub club. I've never partied there. This morning we're going to be considering the primacy, the importance, the vital importance of biblical faith. So take your Bibles, open them up to Galatians chapter 3. We're in our study of Galatians. And you remember, in Galatians chapter 1 and 2, Paul is defending the divine origin of his apostolic ministry and message. He argues in those two chapters from personal experience, he argues that both his ministry and the message had been derived from God, independent of men. He didn't get his message from men. He got his message from God, from Jesus Christ. That's where he got his gospel. It was directly from God. In chapter 2, it was confirmed when he went down to Jerusalem. It was confirmed by the apostles. The apostles there, they confirmed his message. But he had received his message from God. One author, as far as chapters 1 and 2, He calls Paul a freedom fighter. A freedom fighter. For he's fighting in those two chapters for the true gospel. For the only gospel that can save a person and set them free. And he's arguing in these chapters for that gospel. And now we come to Galatians chapter 3, and Paul comes back to deal with the Galatians themselves and their unfaithfulness to the gospel as a result of the corrupting influence. You remember, false teachers came down to these churches, and they were preaching another gospel that Paul says it really is not another gospel because there's only one true gospel. But they were perverting. They were distorting the true gospel. And let me tell you this, folks. There's a lot of people today that are perverting and distorting the true gospel. Oh, yes. There's a lot of false teaching out there. That's why, listen, you need to know your Bible. Amen. You need to know your Bible. You need everything you hear from any pulpit. You need to check it out in the Word of God. Because there are people that distort. You remember these people were called Judaizers. And what they were doing, what they were teaching was that you're saying faith is important, sure, but it's faith plus. And what they were saying is it was faith plus circumcision. You had to be circumcised. You had to keep the law. It was faith plus law that saves you. And Paul says that's a distortion. That is not a gospel at all. Amen. That is not the true gospel. That Paul said the true gospel was we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And that's the gospel. And anything else is a false gospel. But he taught specifically that you are saved by faith alone. That's how we receive salvation. Now, in Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 14, Paul defends that. He defends that. He shows the primacy. When I say primacy, the vital importance of faith. And he demonstrates that in two ways. And the first way, on your outline, the primacy of faith is shown in our experience. In the Christian experience, or our experience. In verses 1 through 5 of chapter 3, 1 through 5, he asks 6 questions. You know, folks, asking questions is a great way to teach. Did you know that? I just asked you a question. Asking questions is a good way to teach. You look at Jesus' teaching in the Gospels, and man, he's asking questions. He's asking, and by the way, when God asks questions, he's not seeking information. He knows it anyhow. He's not seeking information. He's seeking to communicate truth. Yes. And that's what Paul is doing in verses 1 through 5 as he asks these 6 questions. He's seeking to communicate truth. And he's showing in these verses the primacy of faith comes out in Christian experience. How so? First of all, he says we experience salvation by faith. Salvation by faith. Look at verses 1 and 2. He begins, "Oh, foolish Galatians." Or the Phillips translation, I thought this was interesting, renders it, "Oh, you dear idiots of Galatia. Who has bewitched you? Who's bewitched? Who's cast a spell on you? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified." Or if you have the King James Version, it reads, "evidently set forth." And what that means is that when Paul was in these Galatian churches, he preached the gospel so plainly, so vividly, it was like it was painted on a billboard before them. It was like you could see it. He preached it so plainly. You know, and I think of a billboard. Every day when I come to church, I drive up Bailey Road, I guess it is, up to 6 Corners, up at Chapel Hill. You know where the Rotney's restaurant is? You know that big billboard over that Rotney's restaurant? I see that every day. Every day. That's huge. Could you picture on that billboard a painting of Jesus Christ on the cross? And then the words, "I did this for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I did this for you." And all those cars going in from all those directions, looking up and just seeing that. That'd be awesome. Paul says, you know what? When I was with you guys, I preached Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I did it so plainly, so vividly. It was like he was crucified right before your eyes. Then he goes on in verse 2 and asks a question. This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? What's he asking there? You know what he's asking? How'd you get saved? How'd you get saved? See, that's what happens when you get saved, folks. You receive the Spirit. If anybody tells you, you know, you don't receive the Spirit when you get saved, they're wrong. Because when you believe on the Lord, when you believe that Jesus died for your sins and rose from the dead, and you turn to God and you believe, God sends the Spirit of God into our hearts, into our spirits. He interpenetrates our spirits and he regenerates. And you know what? We're born again. Have you been born again? I'm going to tell you, that's what happens when you get saved. And he says, how did that happen? Did it happen as you kept all these little rules? Well, it happened. I've gone to church all my life. I'm a Christian. Oh, no, you don't get to be a Christian by coming to church, right? And it's not just like, you don't get married by going to weddings. You can go to 100 weddings and never get married. You got to make a commitment, right? You don't get saved by keeping little rules. Well, if I just give a lot in the offering, then God will accept me. No. If I just, they were saying, keep the law. If I just do this and this and this, that's how you get saved. And Paul says, no, that's not how you get saved. That's not how you receive the Spirit. You receive the Spirit, how? By hearing with faith. And let's talk about that. Because you can hear and not get saved. There are people that come to church every week. And they listen. And the gospel is preached in a lot of churches. And they come in lost. And they go out lost. Why? Oh, didn't they hear? Well, maybe not really hear. They heard. But they did not unite it with faith. That's so important, folks. You know, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But you can hear, and if you don't unite it with faith, it doesn't do anything. Put this verse down. Hebrews 4:2. Hebrews 4:2. Unbelievable verse. It says, "For indeed we have had good news preached to us, just as they did also. But the word that they heard did not profit them." Why? Because it was not united with faith in those who heard. Did you get that? You see, we can hear the word of God. Today, we can hear the word of God. You don't unite it with faith, it does no good. It's when you hear the word of God and when you have faith, you trust, you take God at his word. You trust in his character. What God says is true. When he says, if you believe in Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins and rose from the dead, you turn to him and repent and believe, you will be saved. It's true. But you got to have faith. That's the primacy of faith. It's important. For without it, you can't be saved. And that's what Paul is saying here. How did you get saved? It wasn't by keeping a bunch of rules. It wasn't by rituals. It wasn't by rules. It wasn't by what you did. It's by hearing with faith. So the question is, and I don't know everybody here, have you received salvation? Have you received, have you united the Word of God with faith and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and been saved? See how important faith is. See how important it is. You can't be saved without faith. So he says, one experience, we experience salvation by faith, but look at verse 3, because he says something else. We experience not only salvation, we experience sanctification or spiritual growth by faith. He says here, are you so foolish? Again, did you forget already, or you just kind of spiritually dense here? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? And what's the question here is, listen to this. How do you grow as a Christian? You see, once we're saved, it's not done. Somebody say amen or something. Are you awake? Somebody say amen. You know, once you get saved, that's just the beginning. Amen. It's just the beginning. We have been saved. We're being saved. That's called like sanctification. God's got a plan to take us from where we are and to conform us into the image of His Son. Amen. He wants us to grow. He wants us to be more like Christ as we go along. We're not sinless, but we should sin less and less as we grow in Christ. Amen? Amen. There's a process here. It's called sanctification. And he says, you begin with the Spirit. Now are you going to grow in the flesh? I'm going to do this. I won't do this. I won't do this. I won't do this. I won't do this. I'll do this. I'll do this and do this. And that's how I grow. And he says, that's not how you grow. That's not how you grow. You grow, he says here in verse 3, he says, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? No. How do we grow as Christians? And you know what he's already told us? Back in chapter 2, verse 20, which Pastor Jeremy brought out so well last week. What a sermon that was. What a sermon. But do you remember Galatians 2:20? This is a key verse in this book. You should memorize this verse. More than that, you should put it in your heart. More than that, we need to live it. I have been crucified with Christ. And I no longer live. But Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live how? By faith. See it? By faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. How do you grow? You know how you grow? The same way you got saved. By faith. By faith. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, how do you grow by faith? By faith, we appropriate the Holy Spirit's fullness. You see, you heard the Spirit. You began by the Spirit. We say, Holy Spirit, fill my life today. I yield to you. Give me the strength. Give me the grace. Give me the desire to live the Christian life today. Holy Spirit, do it. You see, you know what? You've heard me say this. You'll hear it again. The Christian life is not a hard life to live. It is impossible. In your flesh, you can't do it. In my flesh, I can't live the Christian life. It's only as I yield to the Spirit of God by faith, asking Him to fill me, that He gives me the strength. And it's by faith in the Son of God. You know what it is? It's saying, Jesus, I'm dead. But you know what? You're alive in me. Live through me today. That's how we live the Christian life. That's how we do it. That's how do you forgive somebody that's hurt you? I don't want to forgive them. No, I don't. I can't forgive them, Lord. You're right, but I can. Will you let me? And we allow Christ to live through us. How do we do that? By faith. That's key. You see how important faith is? It's how we get saved. It's we experience salvation through faith. We experience sanctification through faith. Now I want to ask you, how are you living? How are you growing? Have you been trying? Boy, I'm trying to overcome this sin. I'm just trying. I just can't do it, Pastor. I'm trying. I want to forgive. I just can't do it, Pastor. I just can't. I'll tell you what. I tried. I failed. I trusted. He succeeded. Amen. What we need to do is we need to, by faith, claim the fullness of the Holy Spirit. By faith, we need to get out of the way, and we need to say, Jesus, live through my life. Are you doing that? That's how we grow as Christians. We experience salvation by faith. We experience sanctification by faith. And down in verse 5, we experience the supernatural works of God by faith. You see it there? So then, does he who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you do it by works of the law or by hearing with faith? The he there is God. He's the one that supplies the Holy Spirit to us. He provides you with the Spirit, and he works miracles among you. That word works, it's the Greek word energo, which we get energize. Energy. God energizes you to work. Amen. And does works among, works miracles. That word miracles is dunamis, from which we get dynamite. These are the powerful workings of God in our lives. Now, he says, listen, you Galatians, God is energizing and he's doing wonderful miracles in your midst. What was he doing? We're not told, but I think people were getting saved. Amen. That's the greatest miracle there is. Amen? Somebody that gets saved. I think lives were being changed. Lives were being transformed, brother, transformed. Sins, addictions were being overcome. Relationships were being healed. Marriages that were falling apart were coming together. That's a miracle. They were experiencing miracles. They were seeing the miraculous power of God. And Paul says, how does that happen? Does it happen when you keep a bunch of rules? Or does it happen when we hear and have faith? Hear and have faith. And he says it happens when God's people hear the word of God and have faith in an all-powerful, almighty God of the Bible. And God does miracles. But does he do miracles today? I'm going to tell you, he does. He does. It's the same God. So if we're not seeing miracles, and when I talk about miracles, I'm talking about souls getting saved, lives being transformed, sins being overcome, relationships being restored, families being healed. That's the kind of miracles I'm talking about. You know? I'm not talking about fire coming down from heaven. That's a miracle too. But I'm going to tell you what. I'm talking about practical miracles. Is God doing miracles? Yes. And if we don't see miracles, what's that say? Maybe it's kind of like we need to trust God more. Maybe we need to have faith. Because how does the miraculous power of God come? It comes when we hear and we take God at his word. And we believe and we trust in a miracle-working God. Does God do miracles today? Yes. Warren Wiersbe tells a story about a man who was an alcoholic, fall down drunk. and somebody shared the gospel with him. Then he got saved. And God just changed his life, turned his life around. And a skeptic came to this guy and said, "You don't believe that God does miracles, do you? The miracles in the Bible, you don't believe that, do you?" He said, "Oh, yes, I do." And he said, "You don't believe that Jesus turned water into wine, do you?" And he said, "Oh, yes, I do. You know what he did for me? He turned wine into clothing, into furniture, into food." I'm going to tell you, God does miracles today. He changes lives. But how does he do it? He does it when the people of God hear the word of God and trust God and put their faith in God. That's how he does miracles today. Are we experiencing that? I'll tell you what, I want to experience more of it. I want to see people come to Jesus. I want to see, wouldn't it be neat every week if somebody came and said, "I want Jesus"? Amen. Can that happen? Things that can happen. He was adding to, how often was he adding to the church in the book of Acts? Daily. We need to have, I need to have more faith. Because that's how God, the supernatural, we experience the supernatural power of God. How important is faith? I'll tell you what, we experience salvation by faith. We experience sanctification by faith. We experience the supernatural power of God by faith. That's pretty important. That's the primacy of faith. That's number one. But then he goes on and shows us the primacy of faith confirmed in the scriptures in verses 6 through 14. Now this is important. Listen to me. Experience is wonderful. I'll tell you, I want to experience everything that God wants me to experience. Amen? I do. Experience is wonderful, but all experience needs to be grounded in Scripture. Not vice versa. Another way of saying this is Scripture is not proved by experience, but experience is proved by Scripture. Amen. Yes. This is important, folks. In these verses 6 through 14, he shows how important faith is using the Scriptures. It's interesting. In verses 1 through 5, he asks 6 questions. In verses 6 through 14, he quotes 6 Old Testament Scriptures. To ground this, to show how important faith is using the Scriptures. And he brings this out with several truths. First of all, he shows that faith was the basis of salvation even in the Old Testament. You know, sometimes people get that mixed up, don't they? They think in the Old Testament they got saved by keeping the law. In the New Testament it was by faith. No. He says that we get, we shows that the basis of salvation, even in the Old Testament, was by faith. In verse 6, look at verse 6, he quotes there Genesis 15, 6. "Even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness." In other words, Abraham was justified, made right with God, declared righteous through faith. Yes. You remember in Genesis 15, God came to Abraham and he said, "I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great." And Abraham responded, he said, "What will you give me since I'm childless? I'm childless. And the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus. Since you have given me no offspring to me, one born in my own house is my heir." Did you hear what he said? God said, "I'm going to bless you. I'm going to reward you, Abraham." He said, "Oh, great, but I don't have anybody to leave it to. You didn't give me a child, Lord. I guess it got to be this guy who was born in my house, this servant Eleazar." And God says, "Whoa, you're wrong. You're wrong. It's not going to be that guy. It's going to be somebody that comes from your own body. Then God takes Abraham. They're in the tent, see? God takes him outside. "Come on out here, Abe. Look up. See all those stars? Count them if you can." "Can't count them, Lord. so shall descendants be. And you know what? Then Abraham, what? Believed God. And he reckoned it to him. That means he accounted it to him. He put it to his account. Righteousness. Abraham believed God and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. And Abraham was justified. How? By what? By faith. Well, maybe he had to be circumcised. No. What? No, he wasn't. When this promise was made, what? He was not circumcised. He hadn't been circumcised yet. Well, but he probably had to keep the law. The law hadn't been given. The law would be given 430 years later. So it wasn't by the law. It wasn't by circumcision. It wasn't by what he did. It was by faith that Abraham was justified. And in the Old Testament, that's how people were saved. They were justified by faith in God. And he was justified by faith. And it shows, the scripture shows that the primacy of faith. And secondly, faith is not only the means of salvation for the Jews, but for everybody, for all. Let me read verses 7 through 9. Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. The scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you. So then those who are of faith are blessed in Abraham, the believer. And again, he quotes here from Genesis 12:3 and proves that the blessing of salvation was promised to who? All nations. Not just to the Jews, but all nations of the world. And it would come through faith. Very interesting. Do you see it there when it says that God preached what beforehand to Abraham? The gospel. What? Is the gospel in the Old Testament? Is the gospel in the Old Testament? Yes! It's all over the Old Testament. And the same gospel. And the gospel is what? We are justified by faith apart from works of the law. That's what Paul was preaching. And he said that same message was in the Old Testament. Verse 7 tells us that true children of Abraham are not Jews by physical descent, but they are Jews and Gentiles who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. All those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Abraham is the father of all those who believe. Who's your father? If we believed, Abraham is our father. Abraham is our father. Faith is not just the means of salvation to the Jew, but to all people. Aren't you glad? Oh, yeah. Amen. Number 3, faith can do what the law can't do. Look down at verses 10 and 11. For as many as are the works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. Now that no one is justified by the law before God is evident, for the righteous man shall live by faith. And again, I'm going to go into this a little bit next week, so I'm not going to get in too deep here. But the law does not bring salvation. What does the law bring? It brings condemnation. What's the word in there? It's a curse. The law brings a curse. We're going to see that next week. And if you want to be saved by the law, there's only one requirement, that you keep the law totally. All things, do you see all things in there? All things for all your life, and you don't mess up at all, ever, 100%. Other than that, the law brings a curse. The law brings a curse, because cursed is the one who doesn't live according to all things. All things in the law. And verse 11, now that no one is justified by the law before God's evident. Isn't it evident? You can't be perfect. I can't be perfect. No one can be perfect. There's only one person that lived under the law that kept the whole law. Jesus Christ. He's the only one. So it's evident. But it's even evident more because the Bible says the righteous man shall live by faith. A quote from Habakkuk 2:4. That verse is mentioned three times in the New Testament. Romans 1:17. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe, to the Jew first, then also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, just as it is written, the righteous man shall live by faith." And what is emphasized in Romans is the righteous. The righteous. Here in Galatians, what is emphasized shall live. How do you live? How do you get saved? And how do you live out the gospel? That's Galatians. And then over in Hebrews 10:38, it says, "My righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him." Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And the emphasis in Hebrews is on faith. The righteous man shall live by faith. Amen. By faith. So faith can do what the law can't do. The law can't save you. Faith can. Faith can. Number four, faith that saves must be faith in Christ. Again, we know that. But do you remember my illustration at the beginning? You know, I really thought that car was my car. I really believed it was my car. I had faith it was my car, but I had faith in the wrong thing. Some people, you know what? In fact, I had a guy tell me last Sunday, I witnessed to a guy, and he told me, "Well, just as long as you believe. Just as long as you believe. It doesn't matter." You know, and he actually mentioned, he said, the Muslims have their beliefs, and the Hindu, and the Buddhist, and just as long as you believe. Oh, no. Oh, no. The object of your faith is what's important. And what we have here in verses 12 through 14, it's faith has to be in Jesus Christ. Verse 12 says, "However, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, he who practices them shall live by them." Faith and the law, faith in the law will not save you. The faith, it's not just faith. He who practices them shall live by them. Verses 13 and 14. Look at those words. Just look in your Bible. Verses 13 and 14 tell us that our faith must be in Jesus Christ and his finished work on Calvary. I'm going to leave it there because next week we're going to really get into those verses. Only faith in Christ will save us. That's what it's saying here. Only faith in the Christ of the Bible will save us. So the primacy of faith is shown in our Christian experience, but it is confirmed in Christian scripture. In Christian scripture. It was a bright, clear morning in 1860. A huge crowd had gathered at Niagara Falls to see the great, famous tightrope walker, Blondin, who was going to cross the falls on a tightrope. The walk across the falls was 1,000 feet, over 3 football fields, 160 feet above the raging waters of the falls. Blondin briefly tested the taut strand and stretched across the opposite bank. Then he took a pole, a balancing pole, and balanced himself expertly and started across. People on the shore reacted nervously as each sharp motion of the balancing pole, but their fears and foreboding were unnecessary. Because the great Blondin not only went across, but then he proceeded to cross back over. And as he came and as he got off the tightrope, to the great relief and admiration of the spectators, they're just going crazy. And then he looked at the people and he said, "How many of you believe that I can go across this tightrope with a man on my back?" And enthusiastically they said, "Yeah, we believe it, yeah! Yeah, you can do it, you can do it!" And then he said, who will be my first volunteer? Their enthusiasm went down. And no one raised their hand. So he walked up to a man and said, "Do you believe I can go across with a man on my back?" He said, "Yes, I do." He said, "Will you get on my back?" He said, "Not in your life." And he kept on going to people and asking them. And finally, he came to one man and said, "Do you believe I can go across with a man on my back?" And he said, "Yes, I do." He said, "Will you get on my back?" He said, "Yes, I will." I'm not sure of this. I think it was a plant. Because no one, I don't think, in their right mind would do it. If I were there, there is no way I would have gotten on that guy's back. You know why? Because men fail. Men fall. Men slip. But there is one man who's not a mere man. He's the God man. And not only am I trusting him to get me across the falls, I'm trusting him to get me across the chasm of death all the way to heaven. And that's the God man Jesus. It's faith in Christ that will save us. Only faith in Christ. Faith in Christ. I'll tell you what, faith, the primacy of faith. We're saved by faith. We're sanctified by faith. We experience the supernatural power of God by faith. It's confirmed in Scripture. Yes. It's only by faith. And it's by faith in Jesus Christ. It's trusting Him. So I ask you, have you trusted Him? The payment's made. Are you trusting Him? His grace will never fade. Have you trusted Him? His blood can atone. Are you trusting Him? The Lord Jesus alone. Are you trusting Him? If you've never accepted Christ, men, call on the name of the Lord right now. Just say, "Save me, Lord. I believe." And He'll save you. Are you struggling in your Christian life? Are you trying to live it in the flesh? Maybe you need to come up and just get down on your knees and say, "Lord, Holy Spirit, fill me. I'm done with this. I'm done trying. I want to trust." It's by faith. Maybe you need to see a miracle in your family, in your life. How's it going to happen? Well, I'll keep these bunch of rules. It won't. It's by faith. It's by faith. Lord, we just bow before You today and thank You that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Thank You, Lord. Work in our hearts, Lord. Work in our hearts. On Christ, the solid rock, we stand. All other ground is sinking sand, Lord. Work in our lives today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.